Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
My father grew up herding goats in Kenya. His father.
Du hast mich. Du hast mich.
My father grew up herding goats in Kenya. His father.
At least now we know why Obama picked Germany to give his first speech in Europe. It is certainly because of Germany's deeply entrenched socialist communist establishment. It is also due to the massive number of Turkish Muslims who live there, who made up a majority of the crowd. When I say majority of the crowd, you mark my words. The majority of that crowd were the communist socialist bloc in Germany. Now you say, how do you know that? This is the same group of anti-Americans in Germany that torched McDonald's during G8 meetings, that burns effigies of our presidents over the last number of administrations. There is a hardcore communist element in Germany in particular. It's the home of the Bader-Meinhof crowd, who are the cousins to Obama's philosophy, incidentally. If you actually look at Obama's mentors, all of them, each and every one of them, and I can name them, and I will name them, and I'm not going to be intimidated out of the political arena because of these degenerates in Media Matters. I will expose them for who they are, and at the end of the day, I'll be here and they won't be here. And I've said that before about others who've come after me on false charges. I will be standing long after they're gone because I am right and they are wrong. I'm on the right side, they're on the wrong side. I've devoted over 40 years of my life to defending defenseless children. And these rats, they're dedicated to hating families. They're dedicating to hate me. And how you people can be taken in by these villains is not, of course, a mystery to me. People are gullible. The media is all powerful. Maimon is everywhere in the media. And when Maimon wants to get you, believe me, Maimon will spend virtually anything it takes to get their enemies. Right now, I'm public enemy number one. And what's interesting to me is that these very brave men in television, CBS, New York, these brave men with the Colgate smiles have never once attacked any of the throat cutters from the Middle East with the vigor with which they're attacking me. You notice how brave they are now? Have they attacked any of the radical Islamic murderers in this world with the very same powers that they have at their disposal? No, they haven't, because they're cowards, every last one of them, and they're phonies, every last one of them. And I will not back down from my defense of children, no matter what they do. Now, what I have for you are many things today, not the least of which is my belief in righteousness and my belief in myself. And I'm not going to be intimidated by a bunch of communist perverts in Media Matters, funded, moreover, by George Soros and founded, moreover, by Hillary Clinton. That's right. You may not know the connection to this attack upon me, but it goes all the way to Hillary Clinton. Now, how do I know that? Put A and B together and you'll get A, B, and C. Add up 1 and 1. You know what you're going to get? 2. Add up 1 and 1 in the attack on Michael Savage. You know what you're going to get? The Democrat Party. They want me out of the way before the election. They're going to go after every conservative who is going to expose the communist socialist roots of Obama in order to make sure that they finally have the communist revolution that they've wanted in this country for so many years. Now, what proof do I have that Hillary Clinton helped create Media Matters? And Media Matters is the group that is trying to knock me off the air. They're the ones fighting free speech. They're the ones distorting my record. They're the ones trying to make me into something I am not. We have a soundbite of Hillary Clinton, which I'll play for you later in this hour, boasting about a year ago that she created Media Matters. Well, it's not too far a stretch to figure out that George Soros, the villain of villains, is behind this. I have attacked George Soros for years. And if you don't know who George Soros is, he's the money trader in the temple. George Soros is the man who almost broke the English pound. George Soros is the man who flared up anti-Semitism in Malaysia when he almost broke the Malaysian currency. George Soros is the man who spent, I don't know, $40 million of his own money to try to defeat George Bush. Now, it doesn't matter whether you like George Bush or not. What matters is that you understand about the evils in this world and how evil, if it should silence Michael Savage, will not be satisfied with silencing Michael Savage. Evil never stops. The next target will be the next target. The next target might be Hannity, or it might be Rush, or it might be the Leprechaun, or it might be somebody else in the top five of radio. Anyone who stands up to the liberal socialist juggernaut, anyone who exposes the corruption in the Democrat Party, and for that matter, in the Republican Party, moreover, in the government itself, will be targeted. So they're going after me on this. But guess what? They're not going to win. They're not going to win. With your help, I'm going to win. Now, as you well know, this is not the first time my statements have been taken out of context and or wholly distorted. It's happened at least 3 or 4 times before. And the very same group of communist socialist anarchists in Media Matters, along with the very same deviant forces, have tried to drive me off the air. About a year ago, I made comments about Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time. Now, I don't think there's anyone in this audience who's a fan of Ahmadinejad. If you are, then you ought to look yourself in the mirror. You may see an invisible swastika appearing on your forehead. Ahmadinejad is on record as saying he would gladly wipe out the entire state of Israel with everyone in it and gladly lose half of the Iranian population to do so. That's a fact. He said so. He denied the Holocaust existed. And in the middle of that broadcast, when I said Ahmadinejad is the Hitler of our time, I made comments about radical Muslims. The very same deviants in Media Matters took my comments about radical Muslims out of context, did not replay my comments that preceded the comments about radical Muslims, and made it sound as though I was attacking all Muslims. They did this with the illegal alien mobs. I made comments about we are a nation of laws. The lifeboat is full. We cannot simply permit anyone to waltz across the border and cash in on our welfare system. And I said I believe in immigration because I'm the son of an immigrant. I, Michael Savage, am a first-generation American. I am the son of an immigrant. But I oppose illegal immigration. A nation needs rational, sane immigration laws. Once again, they took the comments out of context. And what did Media Matters do? They said I attacked all immigrants. I called immigrants this, I called immigrants that, when I never did. You've got to understand they are a full person will be next. I can guarantee you, even if it's a liberal. Today, they're coming for the conservatives. Tomorrow, they will come for the liberals. Anybody who has the nerve to stand up to these rats, these left-wing rats, is going to be targeted. I am proud. I am very proud that they're coming after me, because that means that I'm exposing them for what they are. And if I had a sane and rational government, if I had a sane and just rational government, they would investigate the finances of Media Matters. I can ask you how to help me. You want to see how to help me? Oh, don't send money to my Freedom of Speech Fund. You can do that to the Michael Savage Legal Fund if you wish. That's fine. All donations are welcome. But you could do something better. I want you to write your congressman or your senator. I want you to write anyone you can, and I want you to demand copies of Media Matters tax records. They are a 501c3 corporation. They're a tax-deductible corporation. Why don't you take a look at the amount of money they're getting in and where it came from? You'll find out you won't know where it came from. It's hidden. And then find out what kind of fat salaries these wonderful saviors of little children are making. Find out what monies they're taking, all of these wonderful people of the left, individuals in Media Matters, are taking home for themselves. So go and ask whoever you have to ask for copies of their tax records, and then see if you can get one senator or one congressman to investigate the tax status of Media Matters in this country and find out where their money is coming from. Then you'll find out why they're after Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Institutions that I helped to start and support, like Media Matters and Center for American Progress.
Hold it. They missed that. That was none other than the former presidential candidate, Hillary Clinton, saying that she helped form Media Matters. Now, that's the group going after Michael Savage by distorting what I said, by ripping it out of context, by changing the history of my life, or attempting to. Play Hillary again. Just Hillary. Go ahead.
Institutions that I helped to start and support, like Media Matters and Center
for
America.
Okay, you heard it right. You're on record. Institutions that I've helped start and support, like Media Matters. That's the group that is trying to get Michael Savage thrown off radio. Now, what's interesting to me is that I'm being attacked in my own hometown by this failed newspaper that's losing $1 million a day, while the district attorney and mayor who released an illegal alien who gunned down a father and his two sons who were just driving down the wrong alley at the wrong time, this illegal alien was released 2 months before by the district attorney, Kamala Harris, handpicked by Willie Brown when he was mayor, handpicked by, Gavin Newsom, to let this illegal alien on the streets through the so-called sanctuary policies of the sick city that I live in. Here's a man who killed a father and two sons, and this mayor and this district attorney are given a free pass by this rotten newspaper that's losing $1 million a day. They're both given a free pass to Montana. Now, why do I say a free pass to Montana? Because as I speak, and although the people of this city have finally had enough, and they're talking about Mr. Ramos, who allegedly gunned down Mr. Bologna and his oldest son and then a younger son who died of injuries a few days later. Did you know that the mayor is in Montana this weekend? Do you know why he's in Montana? Well, he's getting married. Well, he's allowed to get married. He's allowed to go to Montana. Are you aware that some of his guests to his wedding are flying there on the Google 767? Now, I realize that liberals are entitled to have Gulfstreams and 767s. There's no law against it. But aren't these the same liberals who are so concerned about carbon footprints and the environment? And isn't it strange that the Google boys can house a 767 at Ames NASA airfield under the guise that they're doing very important scientific research? You wouldn't think that had anything to do with their connections to Nancy Pelosi, would you? Well, of course not, but if you were still a newspaper, you'd look into it. How on earth can a private jet be housed at NASA Ames airport? And how can a person who claims to be a liberal environmentalist sit there with a straight face and fly on a 767 to a wedding in Montana? And how can a city newspaper permit the district attorney not to be called out and shown for what she is, that these murders of this father and his two sons are strictly in her hands because she released this murderer 2 months before? And by the way, the gun he had in this car was tied to two murders the very next day. They said, well, they couldn't find any connection to the murderer. Let me tell you something. This issue that I'm enmeshed in is an important one, but it's tied directly to the presidential race, whether you know it or not. One day you'll come to see the bigger picture. Now, I want to direct you to those of you calling only about the autism controversy to michaelsavage.com. There are two things up there that are new that you must see and you can store. On the left side of the page are 20 audio clips of Savage's comments on autism. I don't intend to repeat myself every day. But on the left side, you can actually click and hear one. Savage says the real cases of autism need our sympathy and support. Clip two says Savage says his brother was severely disabled and that misdiagnosis hurts the child. Clip 3 says Savage this, clip 4 says that. Clip 5 says this, clip 6 says that. And so you can hear an interview with Dr. Peter Breggin. Dr. Breggin, a psychiatrist, MD, trained at Harvard, says that though there are real cases of autism, those involved in the broadening of its diagnosis are in the pay of pharmaceutical companies. How come you haven't read any of that in the attacks on Michael Savage? Well, could it be because the same directors who sit on the boards of various news corporations also sit on the boards of pharmaceutical firms? Look into that. You see, if we still had a free press in this country, you might find out that there is a thing called interlocking corporate directorships. And on the very boards that are producing the drugs to kill our children's minds sit the very same men and women who are on the boards of some of our major news organizations, some of our major media outlets. Check it out. Interlocking corporate directorship, something that, strangely enough, the left wing in this country, the liberals in this country, in the 60s warned us against. The liberals in the 60s, the very wise, real American liberals, as opposed to the false progressives of today who are not liberals at all. The progressives of today are very close to the Communist Party USA, CPUSA, Socialist Party Workers, etc., are very close to the progressive parties of today. But the true liberals of the 60s, many of whom listened to the show religiously and still go away disagreeing with me on so many topics, remember that in the 60s they were warned about interlocking corporate directorships. Ask yourself why the media is criticizing Michael Savage and not criticizing Al-Qaeda to the same extent. How come they're after me, but they're not after the throat cutters and the bombers who throw bombs at the marketplaces? Why have they turned me into public enemy number one? Because I'm a safe target. I can't hurt them. But Al-Qaeda could hurt them. There's also a fact that they would like to expose their products in Saudi Arabia and in the Gulf countries. There's also a fact that, for example, News Corporation, the parent of Fox News, owned by the Australian Outback Pirate, is the very same organization that took 19% of its company and sold it to Arab Money a long time ago. That's why Michael Savage is being attacked by Fox News, for example, my competitor.
Savage.
The only thing I wish people would do is actually listen to some of the audio clips of Savage's comments on autism that were played over the last few days, particularly the interviews, with Dr. Breggin. How about the caller named there's a really important one there. This is a woman. Let me find it for you. I know the one in here. It's a lady in New York who works for an organization. Caller Tikva is a therapist in New York City who works with children, who says that kids are frequently labeled with autism even though they have other conditions because the agencies are provided with more funds for that diagnosis. Now, hold on a minute. That's clip number 10, which you can find on michaelsavage.com if you want to listen to it yourself, unless your mind is already made up and you want to show yourself to be the closed-minded individual that you think you aren't. But play clip 10 for the listeners today. Tikva in New York City on WOR, my wonderful affiliate in Manhattan and surrounding area. What's on your mind, Tikva?
Hi, I'm an ABA therapist with a prominent agency in New York. And today the agencies have really co-opted that term autism. What they do is they send the parents to neurologists that are willing to give this diagnosis for children that I have been working with. And I know for a fact that they're not autistic. They're mentally retarded. They're neurologically impaired. Mm-hmm. They have severe brain damage. And they're labeled autistic because the agencies make more money with this label.
And, oh, my God. You mean there's more money if the child is declared to be autistic than brain damaged?
The state pays much more money for a child that's labeled autistic for ABA therapy than they
do. Oh, my God. No wonder I've touched a raw nerve. So there's a therapist working in the field. Now, I have a friend who listens to this show who's a very liberal talk radio host. I'm not going to mention her name. She said to me, what are they trying to say? She said, New York Magazine has run stories about this use of autism in order to collect benefits. Many articles in New York Magazine, she said, were run about this entire industry around autism. I said, I don't know why they've singled me out other than the fact that George Soros's Media Matters has found a ripe target and they think they can topple me before the election. San Diego, Colleen, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I'm a great admirer of yours. I have an autistic child who's now 21, normal and just graduating from college, so it's possible. Now, my child, at age two, my doctor didn't even catch. I noticed that she wasn't making eye contact, wasn't talking, and was my third child. So I immediately flew into action because I was a doctor's wife and had access to many doctors. There's a very special person in San Diego, Bernard Rimland, who is considered the godfather of autism, who saw my child.
I remember Bernie from years ago. Now, isn't he of the hypothesis that it was related to the vaccines?
Yes. And my children never, my son was born in England, so I didn't allow any of my children to have live vaccines, especially at least until they were 2 years old. So that wasn't my child's problem. I think it was.
But wait, so what did Bernie do for your child? The various and sundry nutritional therapies?
Nutritional, he put it on some, you probably know what it is, DHEA or something. We took away all of the fast foods from her and got her immediately into a school where I had a one-on-one PhD and her. And after 1 year, she started talking and acting like a normal child. I mean, she wasn't potty trained till she was four, which horrified my ex-husband, the doctor. But it didn't bother me because she was, you know, a decent child. But you couldn't make eye contact with her. You couldn't.
Well, I mean, we agree that there is autism, and you're the parent of you, so you know that I agree with that. But my broader comment that there are many people who are put into this category who are not autistic and that there's money involved, would you argue with that as false or true?
That's probably very true. If you have
And now you understand, of course, why I'm being attacked. Whenever there's a lot of money involved in an industry, they want to attack anybody who's liable to shine a light on some of this activity. Of course they don't want anyone to look into this. Of course they don't want to have people asking questions, saying things such as, of course you want to help autistic children. But wait a minute now. There are too many children being put into this category for it to make sense. And there may be people who are gaming the system and we want to stop it. This is a national dialogue that needs to occur. And if I have triggered this national dialogue, so be it, even though it has been at great personal cost to me and to my family. Let it be. So let it be. Let the country analyze at a certain point how much it should spend on diseases, number one, how many people are put into the category who are truly sick, and how many people are in the category who don't belong there. Why is that an irrational conversation to have?
It isn't.
Well, you see, here's the problem. You're a rational person, and so am I, but I'm dealing with emotional people right now, and you understand what happens when a crowd becomes emotional. They become a lynch mob.
Well, there's a regional center in California. That's a place if people have no money, they can start, and they can at least test the child, and that's free.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm glad your child worked out, and thank you for supporting me today. 1-800-449-8255. In New York City on WOR. Ralph, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I walked through those picket lines. I saw your name being screamed out. Three-quarters of those people have never heard a word that you have said, ever once tuned into your radio show. They just have nothing better to do than to stand there with their dumb signs and speak their...
Were there any children in the crowd?
I'm sorry, Michael?
Were there any children in the crowd with the protesters?
Nerve to bring their young children, who have no business being there in the first place, holding signs. The day that we can't, that you or I, mostly you, because you have such a floor there, that you can't say what's on your mind and bring something this important to the forefront, is the day we can say that our country is over. It's finished.
Well, you know, the left wants the fairness doctrine introduced so they can control the dialogue and have a monologue, which they control. And then everyone will worship Obama. When Obama appears, anyone who doesn't worship him perhaps will be interrogated and reeducated. If the man is so great, how come you didn't come out to worship him? After all, he's a great man. Well, I don't think he's a great man. Well, you're going to reeducation. That's where we're heading. That's correct. This is the road to tyranny that we are on. And the radical left is paving that road with money provided by George Soros and other nefarious forces. And if they have to pave over Michael Savage and the others in conservative talk radio to get there, they don't care who they bury alive.
And, Michael, I don't want to bring up a topic that must be very painful for you, but you went through someone with your in your own family, your own brother, from what I understand. If anyone should know about this, these situations, it should be someone that's gone through it, namely you in this case. These people that are picketing have no background in this. They're certainly not neurologists or
well, what it is they took the soundbite out of context, and the only thing they heard was most of them didn't even hear the soundbite. They looked at the narrative transcript put out by George Soros' Lilliputians called In Media Matters. And, of course, if I were the parent of an autistic child and I looked at that transcript, I'd be as offended as they are. I'd be just as outraged and just as hurt. There's no question about it. But if they actually wanted to hear what I said, or if they actually wanted to hear who I am, all they've got to do is go to michaelsavage.com. And then if they still hate me, I can't do anything about it. But I can guarantee you that a large percent, if not all of them, might think differently of Michael Savage if they actually heard this show and they actually listened to the sound bites and they actually listened to the experts and they were not led around by the nose by these Lilliputians funded by Hillary Clinton and George Soros.
Echo those sentiments. I hope that they take the time to actually listen to you and see where you're coming from and not just...
They won't take the time because a lynch mob only takes the time to get the rope. They don't take time to ask if the person is actually guilty. They want to hang somebody from the tree. This is a lynch mob. That's what you're seeing outside these radio stations. Hysterical lynch mobs that were fanned up by the evil doers in Media Matters. And again, I want to reiterate, many of you are saying, what can I do to help? I'll tell you what you can do to help. I want you to find out who Media Matters is, go on the internet, and then I want you as a citizen, an American citizen, a taxpayer, to demand that they send you their tax form, their latest tax form for the last few years. Now, let's say 100,000 of you do that. And let's say Media Matters has to disclose to 100,000 armed and educated, when I say armed with the facts, educated American people, 100,000 of you demand their tax forms. If I understand the law correctly, they must provide their tax forms because they're a charity, a nonprofit group, to anyone who asks for it. Thank God that law wasn't swept away by the Democrats. Now you got X thousand people with the tax forms of Media Matters in their hands. And then you look at the salaries of, I think his name is, what is his name, David? I forgot his name. Does anyone know the name of the guy who runs Media Matters, the man who's the arch enemy of all conservatives? Well, if you could, David Brock. David Brock was a former fake conservative, in my opinion, who declared himself a far-left liberal after what he thought it was. Somehow, the rest, of course, is history. He is now the most mad dog of the mad dogs in this group. Find out what David Brock made last year for being such a lover of and find out and then ask yourself why I, who have dedicated my life to defending defenseless children, which goes back in publications at the least to 1982 when I published Healing Children Naturally, and it's been republished, by the way, and available on my website, where I've tried for my entire life to save parents from over-relying upon drugs. And ask yourself if there's not a tie-in between the pharmaceutical companies and this unprecedented attack on Michael Savage. There's a good article, by the way, on my website called Michael Savage versus Big Pharma by Barbara Anderson. It's a commentary from the web, Michael Savage versus Big Pharma. And I think I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to start reading it to you right now. Well, I'll do it in a moment when I read it. Barbara's a wonderful writer. And it goes like this. It started out as a discussion on autism. It ended up with an education not only on autism, but on Big Pharma. Michael Savage has several times addressed the issue of misdiagnosing certain children, pinning the tags of ADD and ADHD on them. And then she quotes me, and I don't want to quote myself again. But I think you need to read what Michael Savage actually has said over the years and what she has to say about me. And then what she has to say about vaccinations like diphtheria, polio, measles, mumps, rubella, hepatitis, B and A. And what these vaccines may have or may be doing to some children in some cases. And then she concludes by saying, Savage is often referred to as brother in passing. But because of this controversy, he told his audience the tragic story of his brother, who was put into an institution at age 5 or 6. His brother died there at around age 20 without ever speaking a single word. Many years have passed, but the sadness in Savage's voice when he speaks of it reveals that this is still a tragedy in his personal life. His family has lived through what many parents of autistic children are living through. Michael Savage asks caution in what we are injecting into our children. He is asking that we not label children when they have not been given a definitive diagnosis. Savage concludes by saying, to permit greedy doctors to include children in medical categories which may not be appropriate is a crime against that child and their family. Let the truly autistic be treated. Let the falsely diagnosed be free. Barbara, God bless you, and thank you for writing that. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Here's a report that just came out seconds ago from Newsbusters. Will media report concert before Obama's Berlin speech? Question mark. Remember back in May when media gushed and fawned over a huge crowd in Portland, Oregon, supposedly gathered to hear the words of Democrat candidate Obama, but chose not to report the free concert be given before his speech? Well, it has been learned that before the presumptive Democrat nominee spoke to a crowd in Berlin today, two popular German acts, reggae artist Patrice and rock band Ramon, entertained the gathering audience. Will media report this tonight or just gush and fawn over the huge crowd again? Spiegel Online reports this. Pop concert for Obama fans, 6:30 p.m. The tens of thousands of Obama fans are being entertained as they await the senator. The reggae musician Patrice kicked things off, followed by the rock band Ramon. Now, you think that will be part of media reports tomorrow in the New York Times? Do you know why the New York Times profits has dropped by 82%? Do you know why the San Francisco Chronicle loses $1 million? Is it a month or a day? I don't even know what it is anymore. The answer is because they do not report the facts anymore. They are propaganda journals. And here's the interesting thing about newspapers. Who is it who buys newspapers? I would wager a guess that the largest demographic for newspapers would be white people over the age of, let us say, 40 or 45, maybe even over 50, because that generation grew up on newspapers. Now, if that generation of buyers is attacked every day, even if they're not conservative, let's say politically, they certainly are patriotic to a certain extent, and yet they pick up a rag every day and it says, war no good, troops no good, police no good, cops no good, killer good, rapist victim. And they go on and on with this anti-American, anti-family, insane editorializing and news bias. They never really put out a story that supports borders, language, and culture. They're always on the side of the illegal alien or on the murderer or on the side of the rapist or the pornographer. So the demographic, the natural demographic for the newspaper says, you know what, I'm not buying that rag anymore. So they keep writing it anyway because it's not their money. And the people in the business would rather see their agenda pushed forward one more day than the vehicle, the newspaper, stay in business another day. That's why they're going out of business. Talk radio, by the way, is not going out of business. There are ups and downs in all industries right now. Talk radio has never done better. And I am very bullish on talk radio. We know what's coming with the election. We know how high the ratings are going to be in talk radio. That is why Media Matters, a group created by Hillary Clinton and George Soros, is targeting Michael Savage with the autism controversy. Because if they can knock down this bowling pin, there are only 9 more to go until they have a free, clear lane to push their agenda. Make no mistake about it. I am not the entire issue here. Make no mistake about it. 1-800-449-8255. Phone number is my phone number. Now you say, well, you sound energized. Well, I am energized. They're not going to defeat me. Maybe I'm Daniel in the lion's den right now. Put it in any context you want. But trust me, I am not going to be defeated by this vile group. And if you really want to help me, there are 2 things you can do. One, you can look up Media Matters on the internet and find out where they are and write them a note and ask for their tax records going back 5 years. I believe they're a 501c something corporation. And they must, by law, so far as I know, provide you with their tax documentation. A, this will take them a lot of time to do. B, somebody in this audience is going to pore over those tax records. Maybe you're an accountant. Maybe you're a tax attorney. Maybe you're a city attorney. Maybe you're a federal prosecutor who likes me. Maybe somebody up there likes me, and God's hand will move somebody listening to this show who will get the tax returns of Media Matters, and an investigation will begin into the source of their funds, which I'm sure is all legitimate, and, of course, the large salaries that they are taking for doing such wonderful work as a nonprofit organization. And just maybe somebody up there likes me enough to help me. Okay, there it is. That's the end of this first hour, by and large. I will take your calls in the next hour on the Savage Nation at 1-800-449-8255. I also invite you to please do yourself a favor, particularly if you're a hater, particularly if you've never heard the show before. Please take the trouble to open your mind, hear both sides of the story. Go to michaelsavage.com. Look what's up there. Listen to the sound bites. Download the sound bites. Find out who Michael Savage is. Find out what I actually said. Find out the context in which this was said. Find out what the experts who I've had on have to say. And just maybe, you might not only come away not hating me as much, but you might just save your child from a stigma that your child doesn't deserve. That's it. Naples, Florida. Gary, go ahead, please.
Michael, welcome back. I am so glad to hear you back. The energy in your voice is just, it's there again. It was ripping my heart out to hear you trying to explain yourself over the airwaves all day Tuesday, and I'm glad you took off yesterday. You needed that rest. I'm the TSL champ out here. I think I have the record for listening to you, and the last thing I remember from you was last Tuesday also when you had the espresso. You had me sweating.
Please. Well, I didn't have an espresso today, but I got to tell you, I'm coming back and I'm fighting. And with the Savage Nation Army out there asking for the tax records of Media Matters, I'm telling you that we're going to tip the balance in the favor of truth, justice, and the American way.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Grew up herding goats in Kenya. His father.
By his eager figure of adamant. Belegt sich auf dem dürren Gras. Das feuchte Äugelein.
You didn't hear, as Andrea Mitchell was tripping over her lame heels, or as any of the other media followers of Obama, who absolutely had no business being there, they didn't tell you that there was a free rock concert before and after the Obama speech, that this was a gigantic Leni Riefenstahl event. I mean, Leni Riefenstahl, if she were alive and well, in fact, she's been channeled by the Obama campaign. When he appeared in Portland, Oregon, and they showed the huge crowd by the river, they didn't tell you that it was a free rock concert that drew most of the audience. That's not to say that there aren't homegrown anarchists, socialists, communists, and anti-American other types in Portland. But the fact of the matter is, Germany has been home to hundreds and hundreds of thousands of hard left individuals for a very long time. The communist movement is very powerful in Germany. And as you well know, Germany is a socialist nation. It was the home of the Biedermannhof terrorists. And that mentality still exists in Germany. These are the same rabble. This is the same rabble that burnt McDonald's down, that trashed the streets during previous G8 meetings. So I'm not surprised at the large number of people who came out. But what does that have to do with our country? What does his going to Germany have to do with America? The answer is very little, if anything. And what's really sad about it is that he had time to play hoops, but Obama did not have time to visit the wounded U.S. troops at Landstuhl Military Hospital. How come the great savior, Obama, did not spend 5 minutes with any injured troops at Landstuhl Military Hospital, but he had time for one photo op after another? And so that's a very big topic. It's really bigger than my troubles right now, let me tell you. Now, with regard to the autism controversy, again, I direct you to michaelsavage.com. The site is being swamped. I don't know if you'll be able to get on it, but keep trying. The 20 audio clips of Savage's comments on autism are a gem. The comment by my syndicator, God bless Mark Soul, is really brilliant and well done, and I'm really glad to see that it's up there so you can judge for yourself. But I think I should play one or two of these clips for you in this hour. And I'm going to start with clip 20, which is the one where I say that real autism is tragic and that a false diagnosis is a crime against the child. Listen to clip 20. Autism, in its true form, is a tragedy for the child and the parents. But to throw every child who evidences these characteristics into this category of autism is a crime against the child. I have a friend who called me before the show, and he said that his son had a nervous tic at some point in his development. The quack pediatrician said, your child is autistic. My friend said, that can't be. He just has a tic. He's a child. They outgrow it. The quack doctor said, oh, no, he's autistic. We've got to treat him. The doctor was wrong. The friend was right. The friend never told his child he was autistic. And good that he didn't, because the child outgrew the tic. And I'm telling you, people, stop being led around by your nose by an industry that is filled with vultures. Clear, simple. You want to argue with that as well? You're telling me that every child put into the autism spectrum, belongs there? How can you argue that? Are you aware that in the United Kingdom, doctors do not screen for autism in the general population of children because screening tools have not been fully validated? Play clip 13 now on the Savage Nation. Again, I want to reiterate a few points. The United Kingdom, the doctors in the UK National Screening Committee do not screen for autism in the general child population. Why? Because they say screening tools have not been fully validated and interventions, that is treatments, lack sufficient evidence for effectiveness. So be careful. Be careful. That's all I'm saying. Be careful. Be skeptical. Be cautious. And I think it's common sense and prudent to be so, particularly when you have a category that's so been broadly expanded so broadly, so rapidly. Do you want your child thrown in there when he may not belong there? What are you, people, crazy? You believe everything a drug company tells you? Well, that may be because you're drugged. But I'm not drugged, so I'm going to speak out the way I've been speaking out since I've been a child against the dangers of harming our children. Doctor, first, do no harm. Doctor, first do no harm, the Hippocratic Oath. I think that it's been dropped from medical schools. If I'm not mistaken, it used to be required. I know it used to be a required oath that doctors took. Doctor, first do no harm. Today they took it out of the statement that doctors have to make before they graduate. It's very much like the law schools. We had a distant relative who went to Harvard Law School. I don't know, 25 years ago she graduated. She visited with us once. And it was about 3 months before she graduated Harvard Law, and she told us that her professors were teaching all the students coming out of Harvard Law the following: look within your family for your first lawsuit. That's what the law professors were teaching students at Harvard. You could just imagine what the pediatricians are being taught today in schools in order to generate a big bill. Of course they're angry at me. Wouldn't you be angry if your livelihood was threatened? I would suggest that you picket the big pharmaceutical firms instead of the radio stations. I would suggest you picket Media Matters and George Soros' operations for trying to stamp out criticism and freedom of speech in this country instead of the radio stations that have the guts to carry free speech in this country. But that's not the only topic today, and I don't want to dominate it with this. Again, I really rather you went to michaelsavage.com and downloaded the sound bites and read what's there. Let's see what else we have. We have Obama in Germany with the wonderful cheering squad from Africa behind him. And let's see, we're going to go past all these ones. John Edwards talking about building a greenhouse for low-income residents in New Orleans. That's after he was caught in the Beverly Hilton going in. Here's a raw audio of Obama being heckled as he places a note in the Western Wall in Jerusalem. Let's hear 26 if it's any good. No good. It stinks. All right, take it off. That's not radio ready. CNN report on being gay in Iraq. Please leave me alone with that already. I'm not interested. Again, that's the first thing they did with their freedom. That's what American men have died for, so they can be gay in Iraq. That's wonderful. That's amazing. So it wasn't a war to liberate Iraqis. It was a war to bring in the degeneracy of the United States and Western Europe to Iraq. That's great. Now you understand why they're willing to put themselves under a truck and kill themselves rather than see their country become like ours. Look, I've said to you 1,000 times, or I've said it once, that it's not so much America's foreign policy that is detested by al-Qaeda. It's America's social policies that is detested by al-Qaeda. And if you want to compromise with reality, go ahead. I try not to compromise with reality. If you think that a Bedouin, a proud Bedouin, wants his daughter to be like the sluts of Sunset Boulevard or wants his son to put on his wife's high heels and go to a nightclub, you're mistaken. He'd rather die. He'd sacrifice his life to make sure his children are not polluted by Western debased values. And that's as much of the cultural battle as anything on this earth. And, you know, it's interesting to me that the radical left hates George Bush and hates the military because they say that the war was unjust. But if they actually look within their own house and they looked within their own lifestyles, really their death styles, they find out that they're really projecting a massive guilt complex because they could find out very quickly that the Bedouin who opposes us as much for the degenerate social mores that we are trying to push into their communities as for our foreign policies. I'll be right back.
To Berlin, as so many of my countrymen have come before. Although tonight I speak to you not as a candidate for president, but as a citizen. A proud citizen of the United States and a fellow citizen of the world.
Uh-oh. We don't like citizen of the world around these parts. We prefer citizen of the United States of America if they're going to run for the presidency. We really don't want a world president. We don't trust the world court very much. Obama scraps visit to wounded troops. Did you know about that one? Oh, didn't make it to your local outlet? AP didn't cover it? Senator Barack Hussein Obama scrapped plans to visit wounded members of the armed forces in Germany as part of his overseas trip, a decision his spokesmouth said was made because the Democrat presidential candidate thought it would be inappropriate on a campaign-funded journey. Duh. Inappropriate to visit wounded troops? The spokes dummy, Robert Gibbs, said today that Obama made his decision out of respect for the servicemen and women, but Senator John McCain's presidential campaign immediately criticized the move. A spokesmouth for the Republicans said, Barack Obama is wrong. It is never inappropriate to visit our men and women in the military. Well, he's right about that. He should have gone there. Hussein Obama's decision raised a number of questions because the visit, which had been scheduled for Friday, never appeared on the schedule of events. The first word from the campaign about his existence was Gibbs' statement, and they conclude as follows. Obama had been planning to go to Landstuhl Regional Medical Center in Germany before a flight to Paris. Gibbs said the stop was canceled because Obama decided, quote, it would be inappropriate to make a stop to visit troops at a U.S. military facility as part of a trip funded by the campaign. What? I don't see any sense in that. Why do you suppose Obama didn't go visit the troops, the wounded troops in Germany? I don't even understand why he wouldn't. Can anyone make any sense out of this? This is a real misstep. But I don't understand why he would have decided not to go is the question. You know, you talk about a photo op. The best photo op would have been for him to use the wounded troops. I mean, let's be clear. The only reason I could think of, I mean, thinking about it right now, is that the left-wing base in this country, the nutcases in Portland, Austin, Texas, and small pockets of New York City, the nutcase fanatic Obama supporters, for example, in Beverly Hills, would not want to see their hero, their messiah, doing anything good for the troops. That's the only thing I could figure out. Margaret in Washington, D.C., welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, I followed what he did today, starting in Israel, where he had the gall to have his campaign put flags up with his name written in Hebrew. And I think that's the source of the yelling that went on during his speech.
No, no, I know that. But why do you say he'll regret this visit in 30 seconds or less?
Because the American public doesn't like this. His rabid supporters might like this, but the American
might like what? His going to Germany?
Might like all this adulation and this worshiping and this completely the abdication of the job by the press. They've abdicated their positions completely.
Well, they've abdicated their roles as watchdogs. They become lapdogs, but that's well known. You know, the media is supposed to be the watchdog in America. But in the case of the media that we have today, they become a lapdog. I'm actually one of the true members of the American media. That's why I'm being vilified. Big pharmaceuticals don't like Michael Savage. Big medicine doesn't like Michael Savage. The American Pediatric Association doesn't like Michael Savage. The American, the APA, the American Psychological Association, hates Michael Savage. They hate anybody who is against their guild. 1-800-449-8255. Any topic is fair game. Whether it's my problems or Obama's visit to Europe. And they said the speech was boring. According to the Times Online UK, it says, before the Obama speech, the front cover of Stern magazine asked whether Obama was coming as a messiah or as a seducer. There was not much of either in evidence tonight. It says the crowd was in a carnival mood. But listen to this. The crowd included German children on school holidays and contingents of young American Democrats who had come from across Germany, initially cheered just about everything he said. I listened very carefully. They cheered wildly, of course, when he first appeared, and the cheering started to die down. The minute he talked about fighting terrorism, they didn't know what to do. You see, they thought he'd come there and he would hold up the banner of the socialist, communist, anarchist flag, basically. But in essence, he fundamentally repeated almost the very same things that a McCain would have done in Germany. It was very much like a McCain speech other than the citizen of the world. But how far apart was that from Ich bin ein Berliner that Kennedy said? I mean, really not far. Or how far apart was that from Reagan going and visit the Nazi war dead at the Bitburg Cemetery, orchestrated by, I think, his good friend Pat Buchanan, the press secretary at the time. So there are mistakes made by all candidates because their press secretaries tend to inject their own biases into the flow of the trip. In the case of Reagan going to Bitburg, it stung him very deeply. I mean, what right did he have to go to the cemetery where SS war dead were buried? None whatsoever. Why did Obama – I mean, that's something I understand his good friend Pat Buchanan recommended, and I could see why in light of what Buchanan's been seen to become, which is shocking, frankly. I had Pat on the show many times, but let's put that aside. Why would Obama's people have said don't go visit the injured in a hospital? Because it may have shown him to be too sympathetic to the U.S. military for the mad crowds in Portland, Oregon, and the West Village and West Hollywood. They may not have liked the fact that Obama would have been seen with injured soldiers, because to them there are only a certain number of victims that could be shown at any time, and none of them are police injured in a shootout or soldiers injured in a gunfight. The only victims can be the victims that they choose, and as you well know, in West Hollywood, in Greenwich Village and in Austin, Texas, there's only one category of victimhood permitted. 1-800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation. Pauline in New York City, welcome to the program. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
I'm calling to make sure that you know that I support you and I love you and I thank you so much for what you're doing.
You know what? Thank you. Thank you for calling the show. Don't think it's cynical of me to say thank you. Now is when I need every supporter to write your stations, to call your stations and tell them how much you love this show. And also, don't forget, look up Media Matters and ask for their tax returns. It is a nonprofit group, and they must send it to you. Let them send out a million forms, and maybe a good tax account will do a little forensic investigation.
Savage.
I come to Berlin as so many of my countrymen have come before. Although tonight I speak to you not as a candidate for president, but as a citizen. A proud citizen of the United States and a fellow citizen of the world.
On the face of it, that's not so offensive. It's Ich bin ein Berliner kind of deal, you know, big deal. But, all right, let it go. It's not the biggest story on earth. You know what it really is a big story that's bothering me? It's not the San Francisco sanctuary law, which, of course, has led to the murder of a father and two sons by an illegal alien who should have been arrested before this. And the DA should be in prison. There should be a federal immediate arrest of the district attorney. Frankly, the mayor should be slapped with a subpoena in Montana at on his wedding day for having let this illegal alien on the street due to the sanctuary policy. But since Nancy Pelosi is his rabbi, in essence, I use that in the phrase that it's understood in the circles in which it is used, nothing will come of it. Nancy Pelosi is the godmother of the entire San Francisco Bay Area community in the sense of the Democrat politics. And they can get away with anything they want. They've got the juice all the way up to the top. So if an illegal alien knocks off a father and two sons, I'm sure they're not happy about it. But it doesn't really bother them, because if you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. In this case, it's the Bologna family. They were the eggs broken on the streets of San Francisco by an illegal alien who had been arrested and released from prison on a previous connection to a gun that was used in murdering two people 3 months before. And this DA here, Kamala Harris, is the one who let him out of jail. In a legitimate city, the DA would be in prison. She certainly would be out of office. But this city, as you well know, is a unique city. Now, what does it have to do with Obama? Well, if you like San Francisco politics, then you're going to love Obama's politics, because they're one and the same. In San Francisco, many of these leftists think that they're not citizens of America, but citizens of the world. And they embrace all of the lack of love for borders, language, and culture that you can imagine. So there it is. It's really, in some ways, it's a real test for the heart and soul of America. McCain represents the old guard. There's no question about it. He is like the least favorite candidate imaginable as a Republican to me. I have never seen a bigger loser in my life running for the presidency than this guy. It's sad to watch the guy. I mean, you think I enjoy it? I'm going to vote for the creep. But, you know, it's like guilty as charged, or guilty with an explanation. I remember when I was a kid, if I went for a traffic ticket before a judge, we all tried to play junior lawyer in front of the judges in those days. The judge would throw us out of the court. I remember once I went to try to fight a traffic ticket, some old, you know, Tammany Hall type of judge. I said, Your Honor, I'd like to give it. Get out of the court. He said, shut up. It's $50. Get out of here. But, I mean, I'll vote for McCain sort of like guilty with an explanation. In those days, you could say, Your Honor, I'm guilty with an explanation. If you want to, he'd let you give the explanation. Depends on whether you're just eating or not, whatever. It's like with McCain. I'll vote for him very reluctantly. I've never seen a man mishandle a campaign like this in history. Obama's in Germany. He went to a German restaurant in Ohio. Can you believe this? And look who McCain is picking to meet with tomorrow. Dalai Lama? Wow, what a world leader the Dalai Lama is. Really important for the future of America. I'm not a big fan of the Dalai Lama, by the way. I think he's another opportunist, to be very, very blunt with you. And why would McCain choose to meet the Dalai Lama, Tibet's exiled spiritual leader? Does Tibet threaten America's sovereignty in any way that I know of? Is Tibet in any way involved in the oil industry in any way that we need to talk to the Dalai Lama? I mean, I'd rather see McCain speaking to the King of Saudi Arabia than the Dalai Lama. I could name 50 leaders that he should be talking to instead of the Dalai Lama. I don't understand this. What is he trying to do here at the Aspen Institute in Colorado? To explore Tibet's history and culture. We're all upset that China has cracked down on human rights in Tibet, but what are you going to do about it? go to war with China. I love the liberals that ride around with bumper stickers here in the San Francisco area. Free Tibet. Well, we all want Tibet freed. Freed from whom, moron? I feel like shaking the car and say, what do you mean free Tibet from whom? Oh, you mean China? And so how would you do that? Hydrogen bomb them? These are the same schmucks who say no war. The bumper sticker on one side says no war. The other side says free Tibet. How can you free Tibet without militancy? Well, the answer is you can't. But when you come to this kind of liberalism and you just start scratching your head, there's only one answer, which is liberalism is a mental disorder. The third bestseller in a row. First was The Savage Nation on the New York Times list for like 26 weeks. Oh, yeah, you never heard of any of that. Didn't make it to your local paper. Michael Savage has four New York Times bestsellers in a row. The Savage Nation, The Enemy Within, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder in the Political Zoo, soon to be publishing his autobiography. Which, by the way, incidentally, this is interesting. I was just completing my stories, like 57 stories of my life, from the childhood, from Fat Al's Tuna, One-Armed Frank, Electric Blue Saddle, Stitched Pants. And guess which story now is going to lead the whole book? The Autism Storm. Because that's as much a story of my life as Fat Al's Tuna. You know, life is a series of adventures. Some of them are good and some of them are not good. Right now I'm going over some white water. I got to tell you, it's a story, and it's going to lead the book. The Autism Storm will be the first chapter of my new autobiography, incidentally. And that book should be out, my guess is, the latest, the end of October. I mean, I'm working on it feverishly right now. And I know that many of you want to see me tell my side of the story. And I'm going to get a chance to tell my side of the story in my book. It's my book. And I'm not going to tell the story that you want me to tell. I'll tell the story that I will tell. It's my book. It's my story. And I'll tell it my way. See, that's the beauty of freedom of speech. That's the beauty of freedom of the press. The left would say, you have no right to write your own autobiography. Well, let Media Matters write the story of your life. Well, we want a fairness doctrine. You can't write your own autobiography. We want to write your autobiography. It's not censorship. It's just fairness. Of course, it's fascism. Liberalism is a mental disorder. It's also fascistic at its core. As I speak with you, the Google airplane left today, a 767, kept, in my opinion, illegally at Ames NASA Research Center. Ask yourself how the owners of Google can keep a giant airplane for personal use at a federal hangar at the NASA Ames facility in California. How could this happen? How could they have pulled this off? How could the Google plane be kept there? Well, they said it would be used in part for research purposes. So far as I know, they're not going to be doing any research on their trip to Montana today to bring guests to Gavin Newsom's wedding. But then again, liberalism writes its own rules. If they want to use a jet, that's a 767 gas guzzler, and say that it has a low carbon footprint, why then I guess it has a low carbon footprint. If they want to use it for private purposes and say that it's for scientific research so they can get a free hangar at NASA Ames or pay a low price, well, I guess they get it because they own the juice all the way up to the top here in the Bay Area, and there's nothing you can do about it. No matter all the screaming in the world is going to make nothing change differently. It's the epitome of hypocrisy. And I didn't say hypocrisy. I didn't say hip-hop-cracy. I said it's the ultimate in hypocrisy. So we can talk about ADD, ADHD, autism, the current controversy. We can talk about this. Why Obama didn't visit the troops? Why did he cut it out of his itinerary? In Pennsylvania, Donna, you have an opinion? Go ahead, please.
I believe he didn't go visit our troops in the hospital because they probably would spit in his face. He never supported them.
I'm sorry, because of why, Donna?
They would probably spit in his face because he never...
No, they wouldn't. That's not true. I disagree with that entirely. The last thing a wounded soldier would do is spit in the face of any politician who visited them. I disagree. That's not why. Well, okay, look, let me back up. Maybe he was told that if he visited the troops who were injured, severely injured, by the way, in this hospital in Germany, some of them may have turned away from him since he was a man who did not only not support the troops, he's actually stabbed them in the back. He's tried to defund them, underfund them, put down the war, put down the troops, put down the efforts. So perhaps some of them might have turned their backs on him. Maybe they couldn't get enough troops to wave an American flag when he came to their bedside. It's all about propaganda, you know. I don't know. I happen to think this trip is going to backfire on Obama because the media, which is already without credibility, has lost any semblance of credibility they had to begin with. How in the world can you have any faith in a media that would turn into a public relations outlet for this man? How is it possible? San Francisco, Jeff, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, I was a young Army intelligence officer 2 years out of UC Berkeley in the mid-'80s. I was stationed with the 3rd Armored Division in Frankfurt, froze my toes off on the Fulda Gap all through that time. And I really don't appreciate Barack Obama rewriting the whole history of the event and saying how Europe and the Germans came together to defeat communism, because it just didn't happen that way, okay? I was there in 87 in the summer when over a million people in Frankfurt alone, violent, leftist, degenerate scum with their Che Guevara shirts and their Revolutionary Communist Youth Brigade, the bandanas, the same crowd you see at all these anti-war protests. When they were protesting in Frankfurt, they were being bowled down the street with water cannons, okay? I was pulled back from the Fulda Gap and having to guard housing areas for USGI families because the Bader-Meinhof terrorists were driving through the housing areas, shooting the place up. Okay, I walked into the Frankfurt PX on a Saturday morning, an hour after they blew up the optical center with a car bomb. Okay, I was there. It didn't happen that way, Barack.
In other words, Europe didn't defeat communism. Communism is still very much alive in Europe. And 90% of that crowd were hardcore German revolutionaries.
Ronald Reagan defeated it, and he was fought every step of the way by people like Chris Dodd and John Kerry. Okay, that's how it happened.
Jeff, I hear you, but you're one of the people who's actually lived through history. The fools out there who are in the crowd are the useful idiots that Lenin wrote about, aren't they, Jeff?
Well, we're going to have to do a Carter redo with this guy Obama before they get it. And the sad thing is, it's not just going to be 53 hostages for 444 days of shame. I fear he's going to tear down he's going to put the wall back up that Jamie Gorelick had in place. He's going to tear down the NSA wiretap program. He's going to create a perfect.
And Jeff, you know, you raise an interesting issue. I heard that part of his speech and it got me very sick. When Hussein Obama said he wants to tear down walls around the world, I said, is this guy insane? We don't have enough trouble with a porous border with Mexico. What does he want to do, remove the border patrol? Take out the border entry points? Is this guy crazy?
No, I probably want to get rid of landmines, too. I'll tell you another little secret. FASTCAM, family of aerial-deployed mines, are pretty much what kept 19 divisions of Soviet armor from running across the Fulda Gap into West Germany. Okay?
Yeah, and who's out for getting rid of the landmines? Isn't it half the Sunset Boulevard crowd in Hollywood?
The usual suspects, the same crowd.
But wait, I want to ask you something very serious. You bring up the Bader-Meinhof gang. I mentioned it on my show. Can you explain to my audience in a minute or so who the Bader-Meinhof gang was and how it connects to Obama's visit today?
I have an old poster somewhere around here. I'm out in my garage right now. I have an old poster that used to hang on the wall in our platoon room that had the faces of the Bader-Meinhof terrorists. Now, these were all white liberal Europeans, fellow travelers. They were typically upper middle class, wealthy elitists, okay, with an attitude. And their attitude was tear down liberty and establish a global socialist state.
Isn't that basically the inside of Obama's outside? Isn't that really what he stands for?
He's a naked Afro-Martian element that's closer to Robert Mugabe than anything else. If you want to know what America will look like under this guy, mix Robert Mugabe and Jimmy Carter together, and there it is.
Oh, good shot. Well, I hope it's closer to Jimmy Carter than Robert Mugabe, because I think we could survive another Jimmy Carter. I don't think we could survive a Robert Mugabe, although I'm not sure we could survive another Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was single-handedly responsible for stirring up worldwide radical Islam by overthrowing the Shah of Iran, By bringing back Ayatollah Khomeini from exile in Paris, Jimmy Carter unleashed the virus of radical Islam on the world, for which he should be in prison. I'll be right back. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Global citizenship continue to bind us together. A change of leadership in Washington will not lift this burden. In this new century, Americans and Europeans alike will be required to do more, not less. Partnership and cooperation among nations is not a choice. It is the only way. The
now,
one way.
Who is against partnership in nations? Tell me who is against that. Everyone in this country has been struggling, even the Republicans, even the most recalcitrant Republican has bent over backwards to try to get so-called allies to help us in this war against Islamofascism. And they've succeeded to some extent. The intelligence agencies cooperate with each other. We know that. And they will continue to do so. They know who the enemy is. Obama spoke in code today about terrorism. He once mentioned Muslims, radical Muslims, once. And try to separate it out from the general Muslim population. And when he did so, the crowd was actually, it almost fell silent. Do you have that particular soundbite? I don't think that was heard by most people. But he actually said radical Muslims at one point. And he said we need to work with those who are not. And he said, so who would disagree with that? Another big story is that the Apollo 14 mission, a veteran, a man who actually walked on the moon, claims that aliens exist and it's being covered up by the military and the government. Wow, what a story that is. I mean, I've heard this for years from sources. I never paid any attention to it because I figured, what can I do about it? You know, if I've had dinner with aliens, I mean, I hope it could explain why they don't never pick up a check. Maybe they didn't have any cash or credit cards from where they came from. Maybe I had aliens at my barbecue who didn't even lift a barbecue fork. One of the aliens out at the barbecue allegedly makes wine. He didn't even bring a bottle of wine. Could you imagine a man who makes wine coming to a barbecue and not bringing a bottle of wine, let alone his own? And you say to him nicely, gee, I thought you would have brought a bottle of your own wine. And he said, I didn't think you liked red wine. Maybe he was an alien that I didn't know about. So I don't want to talk about that. He said, I happen to have been privileged enough to be in on the fact that we've been visited on this planet and the UFO phenomena is real. All right, fine. What am I going to do about it? If there's an alien in the audience, can you please tell me who's going to win the election and who I should short sell tomorrow? If you have those capacities, which stock should I short sell? Soros must have an alien advisor. He's always been able to bankrupt currencies. He's a good American. He's a great American. Almost broke the English economy. Almost broke the Malaysian economy. And says that he had nothing to do with flaring up anti-Semitism in Malaysia when he almost broke their currency. Oh, no. And he's the same guy who's helped fund Media Matters, according to my knowledge. The very same group of people who are falsely accusing me and causing a witch hunt against Michael Savage and trying to destroy me and anyone else who stands in the way of their liberal agenda, if you want to call it liberal, because it's not a liberal agenda at all. It's an illiberal agenda. But let's go back to all of the main stories of the day, which is Obama. Why didn't he visit the troops in the hospital? The only thing that the callers and I have figured out together, and I think it's true, is probably they could not get enough of the troops to act as a stage set. Maybe the people who run the hospital said, you know what, we're not going to use these guys as an audience for your guy. No, don't come here. We're not putting little American flags and have them cry in the bed like he's General Eisenhower after D-Day. We're not giving him that. And that's the only reason, is that they could not get the cooperation of the authorities in the military, in this hospital, to use our injured troops as live bait for another photo op for this charlatan. You know, if the word charlatan applies to anyone, it applies to Barack Hussein Obama. When he was Barry Obama, he didn't get very far in life. But then he discovered something that was like magic. You change your name to Barack and the liberals get on their hands and knees and worship you. Because then you've got him. Something exotic, something different, and something non-American.
Savage.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We're talking about Barack Hussein Obama does Berlin and what a bomb it was, because the crowd was, you know, they were not enthusiastic toward the end of the speech, because the more he started talking about the war against terror and that we all got to unite in the war on terror and this and that, they were shocked. They thought he was going to say, no war, no nukes, no this, no that. He disappointed the communist, socialist, anarchists in the crowd, along with the children of the Democrat left, who were having their summer in Europe, and the children who were off from school in Germany and who were there for a rock concert. That won't make it to your paper tomorrow, but there was a free rock concert before his speech and after his speech. You would say that would help the build up the crowd a little. And as I say, Leni Riefenstahl herself would be very, very proud indeed of the Democrats today that they can put together almost the equivalent of the rally at Nuremberg. On film for the instant television audience. But let's put that aside. The fact of the matter is, he is running for the presidency of the United States. What is he doing in Germany? Question two, since he was in Germany, why did he not go to our military hospital and visit some of our most severely injured troops? So severely injured that they couldn't even be flown home to Walter Reed. In other words, the first stage of a really great hospital off the field is in Germany. And when they get a little better or well enough to travel, they fly them to the United States. These are really severely battle-injured men. Why didn't he go visit them? And that's probably because the troops would not act. They wouldn't let the troops be used. Or maybe the troops wouldn't want to be used. Maybe they asked them and they said no. I don't really know the answer to it. But I believe this will haunt him as much as Reagan's visit to Bitburg haunted him for the rest of his presidency. For those of you who don't remember that. That was a true misstep of Ronald Reagan, but we're not going to go there right now because that's not the issue. And then we're talking about the reason many of you are listening to the Savage Nation today for the first time, because of the controversy surrounding me that was generated by Hillary Clinton and George Soros' front group, Media Matters, in order to take what I said out of context, make me into a monster when the absolute opposite is true. I have devoted my entire life to defending defenseless children. Anyone who's listened to the show for 15 years knows that story, knows I've written Healing Children Naturally, knows that I'm against big pharmaceutical companies, knows that I'm against the drugging of our children, knows that I protect children any way I can. And, of course, maybe you'll come to learn and appreciate me and become a regular listener to the Savage Nation. You can learn more about me by going to michaelsavage.com than you can by reading the New York Times. You can learn more about me by going to michaelsavage.com and listening to the 20 audio clips of Michael Savage on autism than you can by listening to any of your TV stations across America. You can learn more about me by reading the articles written about me on michaelsavage.com than as written by the propagandists in the Associated Press who continued the big lie. That's what it is. This is my show. This is my view of the world, and I'm going to give you my view of the world. In a few minutes, I have an incredible interview with a great writer, Selwyn Duke, on the autism controversy. I have time for one quick call right now. Corpus Christi, Texas. David, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I'm a teacher, and you know, I heard the comments you made about the autism thing, and you know, what it did was, you know, there. Besides autism, there's a lot of misdiagnosing going on, you know, and it's basically a lot of
kids. You mean the ADD, ADHD, and putting the kids on drugs immediately, right?
ADD, this year I had to sign a paper where the kid wasn't dyslexic, but, oh, he didn't want to do his work, he can't read. But, you know, it was, and he even said, I'm not dyslexic. And, you know, it's like we're misdiagnosing a lot of kids around this country. And it's,
right, because they get special treatment. All sorts of money has been dedicated to it. They get free tutors. They can take tests as long as they want. They get snacks during the test. I know of a kid who got into law school by claiming he was dyslexic. He got free tutors. He got extra time on the LSATs. He got able to eat during the LSATs. You have no idea, if you really look into this, what a gigantic insult this is to the rest of us who work so hard for everything we have. In a moment, a great interview with Selwyn Duke on the autism controversy. You don't want to miss it.
Savage.
You've all heard the controversy surrounding my recent statements on autism, taken out of context, distorted, and being used by Media Matters in an attempt to destroy Michael Savage. Our next guest, Selwyn Duke, has been on the show many times, and he joins us today with what he sees about my commentary. Selwyn Duke, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Great to be with you again. Well, I've got to tell you, it seems that taking offense is now the recreation of choice in modern America. I mean, what I'd call our UPS, umbrage per second, statistic is sky high. And I think everyone knows what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the controversy surrounding your comments about autism. Now, when I heard about this, I understood your meaning perfectly. Your comments weren't about autism, but behavior that might be misdiagnosed as autism. And as the experts you've recently had on your show have said, it's no small problem. But another problem has been misunderstanding. Look, many parents of autistic children are upset about your comments, but something's obvious to me. Most of these folks have read the out-of-context accounts of what you said, but they haven't listened to your show, because there are certain things listeners of the Savage Nation understand. For one thing, Michael, they understand that you had a brother who suffered from severe retardation. They understand that you loved him very, very much. They understand that you've spoken of him on numerous occasions with the deepest affection and emotion. And they understand that your relationship with him instilled in you a respect for human life that doesn't end where mental impairment begins. And not everyone can say that. Look, this is why no one was more livid than you were when Howard Stern mocked the mentally handicapped. And it's why you've railed against the idea that such people should be euthanized.
Yeah, yet I'm the one they're going after.
You know, after talking to a friend, I realized something. I realized where a great source of confusion about this issue lies. Look, when a lot of people think about autism, they think of a case where a person obviously exhibits severe mental impairment. But what many don't understand is that today the category has been expanded greatly. Now they have what they call an autism spectrum. Consequently, children who exhibit relatively mild aberrant behavior, kids who just might have behavior problems, could be diagnosed as autistic. And that's what you were referring to, Michael. And I know it bothers you. I know it bothers you, and it should bother all of us when an irresponsible psychiatric community diagnoses normal but ill-behaved children as mentally impaired.
That was the point.
And let me put this in perspective with an analogy. Now, some today have a nasty habit of labeling ambiguous sexual encounters as rape. I'm talking about a situation where maybe a woman has a consensual sexual experience and then gets jilted and then claims she was an unwilling participant. Now, why are many people who are genuinely concerned about real rape so outraged by this? Why? Because such deceit diminishes the crime. Look, if you bastardize the term rape and lump in that category things that are less serious or even innocent, what happens? People will take the real crime less seriously, and this hurts actual rape victims because they then won't receive the consideration, care, and redress they deserve. Okay, now, it's no different when those who are merely ill-behaved are misdiagnosed as mentally impaired, because by labeling these less serious or even non-existent problems as mental conditions, It causes society to take authentic ones less seriously. And what I want people to remember is that when you bemoan this fact, Michael, you speak for millions, millions who have had to care for legitimately mentally ill or mentally impaired individuals. And hey, I myself know a caregiver in this situation, and you should ask her about it. She hates the fast and loose psychiatric diagnoses so common today. Because why? She's seen firsthand how they take attention, consideration, and resources away from people such as her truly mentally ill family member.
That is my point exactly.
And it is, Michael, and that's the point that many people who've thought seriously about this issue want to make. That's all they're trying to say. So, getting back to the parents of truly autistic children, maybe I can assuage their feelings just a little bit. Michael Savage is not saying autism doesn't exist. With a Ph.D. in epidemiology and having written over, I think, a dozen books on nutrition, he couldn't believe that. He's simply pointing out that the condition is overdiagnosed. So if your child is legitimately autistic, if you're in that category, Savage wasn't talking about you. He's not diminishing your child's travails. He's railing against those who are doing that. Remember that. Okay. But, you know, I'll tell you what problem talk radio has when confronting its enemies in these situations. Listen, it's very, very easy to cherry-pick extemporaneous radio commentary for the purposes of twisting a host's meaning. Because radio is a real-time, fast-paced medium. You speak off the cuff, and you often use hyperbole to drive home concepts. And by the way, we can now, remember this, see how effective that can be. What I mean is, look at the attention that's now been focused on this very important issue of autism because of what you said, Michael. And come on, let's be realistic. Does anyone really believe the condition is never misdiagnosed? Never? Do you really know what the misdiagnosis rate is? I don't think anyone does. And you know what? We're not going to find out by silencing people who dare say the therapist has no clothes. Look, there's no doubt that trigger-happy diagnosticians are legion in psychiatry. And the best example of their handiwork is, guess what? Maybe ADD, because it's become a handy excuse for bad behavior. I mean, look, some head shrinkers are now, get this, prescribing Ritalin for children as young as 2 years old. 2 years old, and they're getting Ritalin.
Not just Ritalin, they are prescribing other drugs to kids now as well.
Yeah, you're right, Michael. I know you said earlier in the week that cholesterol drugs are being prescribed for children as young as two, unbelievably. And don't think laymen are the only ones questioning the validity of ADD and ADHD, by the way. For instance, here's a good example. I heard the famous family psychologist, John Roseman, once say that, this is close to verbatim, all children have ADD up till age two, but if they're socialized properly, it's bred out of them. And I also want to mention, Michael, that many may scoff at your assertion that a child diagnosed with autism might just be a brat who hasn't been told to cut the act out. They might scoff at that. I mean, after all, could it really be an act? Well, listen to this. This is a little something I can tell you from my own life. I had a very charming friend many years ago. Now, this guy was the son of a psychologist, and he was diagnosed with a learning disability way back in the 1970s, way before such diagnoses were fashionable. And he also attended a special school for children so afflicted. Well, listen to what he told me about himself and his fellow students and the conditions they supposedly suffered from. He said, "We thought it was all nonsense. To us, it was just a way to get out of doing work." That's what he said. So, such children do exist, make no mistake about it, and they're aided and abetted by a mental health community that is content not only to be fooled, but to be foolish. I mean, it sounds funny, but I've often said that psychology is the only field where the practitioners invent or exaggerate the prevalence of diseases and conditions so they'll have ready diagnoses.
It isn't just autism and ADD either.
No, you're absolutely right, Michael. And listen to this. These examples will really knock your socks off. I recently read about psychiatrists who are labeling the desire to engage in excessive text messaging a mental disorder. Then, hold on to your pants here, there's muscle dysmorphia. What's that? The obsessive belief that one isn't muscular enough. There's celebrophilia, the strong desire for amorous relations with a celebrity. There's intermittent explosive disorder. What's that? It's road rage. There's sibling rivalry disorder, mathematics disorder, caffeine-related disorder, and expressive writing disorder, whatever that is. And then, a defiant child or employee isn't just ruled by pride anymore. Now he has, guess what? Oppositional disorder. Oppositional disorder. And a person with a lack of gratitude isn't just that. What's he? He's someone who suffers from chronic complaint disorder. Yes, that's the direction in which the psychiatric community has been going. Now, in light of what I just said, don't you think that maybe, just perhaps, misdiagnosis and overdiagnosis might be a problem in psychiatry? I mean, isn't suspicion of psychiatric determinations warranted? But look, there's method to the psychiatric profession's madness. There really is. You see, it suffers from what I'll call chronic disorder invention disorder. And it suffers from it because of a very simple reason: money. Every time it labels what was formerly called a sin or personality flaw as a disease or condition of the brain, guess what? Its market grows, and then its earning potential does also. And it's like this. Hey, I just thought of a new category. Ka-ching! ADHD, more money. Overdiagnosing autism, open the vault. Hey, can you diagnose me, doctor? Why, yes, patient. You're $30,000 sick. So, look, I'll just say this. You folks who care for the truly mentally impaired should be upset. You should. But not at Michael Savage, because he's been there. He's carried that cross. Who should you be upset at? Well, you should direct your rage at those afflicted with a disorder lamented since time immemorial. What is it? It's called greed.
Selwyn Duke, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you for having me on the program, and God bless you and your audience.
Savage.
We know that the drug industry has been trying to poison our children and us for decades, not on purpose, but by accident. And now we're beginning to see just how corrupt some of these companies may be. On the line with me is Dr. Daniel Carlett, who wrote an expose on this subject for the New York Times. Dr. Carlett, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks very much for having me on today.
In your great article, Dr. Drug Rep, you outlined your involvement with the pharmaceutical industry and how you made drug pitches for them. Tell us, how did you first get involved in that process?
Well, a drug rep came to my office, as they often do. This is somebody from Wyeth Pharmaceuticals who I already knew because he had been giving me samples of Effexor. And he came and he invited me to give talks to other doctors. And he said that I would go to what were called lunch and learn talks, where you go to a physician's office, usually a primary care doctor's office, and you go with the drug rep and you talk about the product. And in this case, the product is an antidepressant called Effexor or Effexor XR. And he invited me to do this. He invited me to go down to New York to a conference, which would be all expenses paid. And I decided that I would do it because Effexor is an effective antidepressant. I figured I could provide some medical education to doctors, and you know, worse comes to worse, doctors might end up prescribing a little bit more Effexor, but that wouldn't be so bad because there was some evidence saying that Effexor might actually be a little bit more effective than some of the other antidepressants.
You mentioned detailing in your story. What is detailing? What does the word mean in the context of the pharmaceutical industry?
Well, detailing, it's the term used to describe sales visits, essentially, by drug reps, where drug reps go to doctors' offices and they describe in detail the benefits of the drug that they're trying to sell. And the other meaning of the word detailing that I discovered as a result of giving these talks is that the drug reps can learn a whole lot of detail about the prescribing habits of physicians that they're visiting. And they do that by purchasing this information from pharmacies. So, and this is something that I was completely in the dark about, and a lot of doctors continue to be in the dark about, although some had been educated by this article. But the process is called prescription data mining. And this information is sold by pharmacies to drug companies. And then the drug companies will be able to give a printout to the drug rep saying, Dr. X prescribes 20% Prozac, 24% Paxil, and only 6% Effexor. So we have to really try to encourage this doctor to prescribe more Effexor because he's not prescribing enough of it.
I was fascinated by the way you described how they talk about the doctors and how they are basically a rating system for the doctors. It's unbelievable. Will you take us into that?
Well, there are terms that are used by drug reps to describe doctors who are high-volume prescribers. The term that I heard was decile, D-E-C-I-L-E, and it goes from decile 1 to decile 10. And the very highest volume prescribers are decile 10, and the lowest volume prescribers are decile 1. And as a drug rep, obviously, you want to target doctors that are in the higher deciles, because the more prescriptions a doctor writes, the more possibility you have of making a big bonus by encouraging that doctor to write more of your medication. So part of the drug detailing that they do is they determine first what decile level a doctor is at, and secondly, how much of their medication they're prescribing and how much of their competitor's medication they're prescribing. And then armed with that information, they can then use that to target their marketing pitch according to what sort of competition they're working against.
So from this initial talk that you gave, where did it go from there? How did your involvement continue, and how did your perception change over time?
Well, as a result of the conference in New York, I became part of Wyeth Pharmaceuticals Speakers Bureau. And that meant that I was allowed to go with the drug reps to doctor's offices, and I would be paid between $500 and $750 per talk, depending on how far away from my home office it was. So essentially, what I did when I got back from New York, I already had a few invitations waiting for me, and the reps would tell me where to go, and I would meet them at a primary care doctor's office, and I would walk in there with the rep, who usually would be bringing a nice catered lunch. We would walk into the conference room, and I would introduce myself to the doctors that were there, and I would begin my talk. And then my talk, at least from the doctor's perspective, my talk was a medical education talk about how to treat depression, because most of the depression treatment in the U.S. is by primary care doctors rather than by psychiatrists. But from the standpoint of the drug company, what they were hoping is that I would tilt my presentation in favor of Effexor, and I would spend more time talking about the benefits of Effexor, relatively little time talking about any of the negative side effects of Effexor. And their hope is that a week or two after I left that doctor's office, they would be able to look at all that data that they get from the pharmacies and see that Dr. X had, in fact, increased his or her prescribing of Effexor as a result of my talk. Well, I think just the very fact that I was going in here with drug reps and that I was considered by the staff to be essentially a sidekick to the drug reps in itself was more uncomfortable than I realized it would be when I signed up for this gig. But I think one of the things that was particularly uncomfortable was one talk I remember where I was discussing the well-known side effect of hypertension, which can be caused by Effexor. And I was talking about the company line, which is that the hypertension is only a real issue when you get to very high doses. But one of the psychiatrists that was listening to me said that in his experience, that wasn't really true, that he had seen high blood pressure even at low or normal doses of Effexor. And, of course, I took out my studies to show him that the data supported what I was saying. But still, I remember him looking at me with this skeptical, almost a contemptuous expression on his face. And at that point, I really felt sleazy. I felt like I was no longer a psychiatrist providing unbiased medical education, but what I really was a glorified drug rep. And it was soon after that that I quit. There were a few other talks that I gave and some other events that happened, but that was sort of the road to my deciding that I had stepped over kind of an ethical line here and that I could no longer do it.
How many other doctors engage in exactly what you were doing? How pervasive is this?
Well, Michael, it's pretty pervasive. We don't know exactly how many doctors do it, but there was a recent study in the New England Journal of Medicine where they sampled doctors all over the country and found that over 25% of all doctors in the United States either give these kinds of talks or are consultants for drug companies or do clinical trials to help the drug companies market their drugs. And if you take that figure at face value, we're talking about somewhere in the range of 200,000 doctors doing these types of promotional activities for drug companies in the United States.
Wow, that's an amazing number. To what extent do you think these doctors see what you eventually saw in terms of the ethical dilemma that they are a part of?
Well, rationalization is a very powerful thing, and money is a very powerful thing. So if you're a doctor giving these talks and you're making thousands and thousands of dollars of extra money a year just for driving to a doctor's office and chatting with some doctors, it's going to be very hard for you to realize that what you're doing may be unethical. And you may say to yourself and to others that you only talk in favor of drugs that you're already in favor of, and that the money is not swaying your opinion, and that you're only telling the truth based on the studies. But my concern is that it's a slippery slope. And if later on you find out that a study says that the drug you've been making so much money from actually has some terrible side effect, how likely is it for you to emphasize that side effect in your talks to doctors? I think that that's the real issue. How is that you're going to is the potential that the money that you're making is going to continue to make you tempted to tweak the truth or only give an edited version of the truth about a certain drug? It's up to doctors to not accept money from drug companies to do these kinds of educational events. This is not something that we're going to be able to legislate against. I don't think that we can or should come up with laws forbidding drug companies from advertising their drugs and from paying doctors to give talks. But I think it's really up to each individual doctor to look inside themselves and look at their own sense of morality and decide whether this is the right thing for them to be doing.
Dr. Carlatt, my hat off to you. Thank you very much for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, it was great speaking with you. Thanks very much.
Savage.
I come to Berlin as so many of my countrymen have come before. Although tonight I speak to you not as a candidate for president, but as a citizen, a proud citizen of the United States and a fellow citizen of the world.
Yay. Well, he's not running to be president of the world quite yet. He has to first become president of the United States before he can become president of the world. But what's interesting to me is that he talked tough on Iran in Israel like 2 days ago. He said a nuclear Iran would be a game-changing situation, not just in the Middle East, but around the world. That was 2 days ago. And now he's in Berlin, and he's saying he wants to destroy all nuclear weapons on the earth. He says a nuclear Iran would pose a grave threat and the world must prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon. That was 2 days ago. And then he said he would take no options, including a preemptive U.S. strike off the table to stop Iranian Hitler Ahmadinejad from getting the bomb. That was 2 days ago in Israel. And yet today he said he's against all nuclear weapons. So there are many different Obamas. You've got to remember one thing is he's a politician. Politicians change their tune according to the audience. And why people think he's different than other politicians, you know, bewilders me. I can understand that the Democrats like him because he's charismatic and they think that he's going to finally give them the victory they haven't had for so many years. But he's no different than any other politician. He started out as a ward politician in the outskirts of Chicago doing social activism. Nothing wrong with that, but it's nothing exemplary about it. I mean, it's nothing special. He's never written a word that anybody will remember. He's never given a speech that has one iota of a line in it that anybody will remember. So what makes the man so special other than the fact that he is an extremely convincing speaker and he presents himself very well? So are those characteristics sufficient to make him the president of the United States? Maybe when you've got John McCain on the opposition instead of Mitt Romney, who could have won as by a landslide over this guy. Now, why the Republicans shafted Romney and put McCain up when McCain was a disappearing act as near as a year ago is not a mystery to me at all. They don't like Romney for a number of reasons, and they know McCain is probably going to lose. I actually think the Republicans are running to lose this election. I think he's the fall guy. His campaign is being run as though he's the fall guy. He doesn't look like he's really running to win. He may not even know he's a fall guy. They probably pick the guy who will stumble so much till eventually he falls. That's the sad truth of the matter. I mean, I'm going to vote for McCain over Obama. There's no question about it. But what I do is my business. It's not your business. You'll do what you want to do. And although McCain is a continuation of the Republican stranglehold on the American system, which has not been very good for this country, it would be far worse to have a radical socialist leftist like Obama and his crowd, his mentors in power. It'd be far worse. Taxes would go up about 35%. That alone is a reason not to vote for Obama. I'm against higher taxes. I've worked too hard to give more for programs that I don't approve of. For example, let me be very clear. I give up, 50% of what I earn already. I don't want to give up 65% of what I earn already. Thank you very much. It's bad enough that I work 1 out of 2 days for the government. I really would rather not work a day and a half of 2 days for the government. So he would raise taxes. He would weaken us strategically along the lines of Jimmy Carter. He would embolden our enemies who would see weakness and pounce. For those reasons, national security and taxes alone, I will vote for McCain. But that doesn't mean that I think McCain is a great man or that McCain is a great leader. I don't think either of those statements are true. But now, why Obama went to Europe is not a mystery to me at all. It is to show that he has the dignity and bearing to carry the American America, let us say, in Europe. Well, he probably does. It's just that his policies are out of step with mainstream America. Mainstream America is not ready for his left-wing follies. The fact is most of America doesn't really know what his policies really are. He's been well orchestrated and well planned by the Leni Riefenstahls of our time. Leni Riefenstahl was the propaganda, the movie maker who filmed the Berlin Olympics for Adolf Hitler. She also filmed the Nuremberg rally for Hitler. She was a great filmmaker, but she was a naked propagandist, or her films were used for propagandist purposes by the Third Reich. And I got to tell you something. She'd be very proud of the job that Hollywood is currently doing for Barack Obama. They're probably as good as, if not better, perhaps not as artful, but more skilled in terms of delivery than Leni Riefenstahl. To be able to use entire nations as a backdrop for a candidate who was unknown as near as a year ago is a pretty amazing accomplishment. Why the Israelis permitted themselves to be used is not a mystery to me either. It's a nation run by a pack of Jezebels, and that's, of course, why they would do this. It's astounding to me. Or maybe they're saying, well, if he wins, we got to be his friend. We need to continue to rake in the money, so we may as well be friendly with him. He's liable to win. I can understand that as well. But Jezebels abound virtually everywhere, and no man is above the law, and none of us wear a halo. Let me tell you that. And I don't really want to talk much more about my particular travails right now. I will say that I'm stronger today than I was Monday, for those of you who love me. And I'll be stronger tomorrow than I am today. And that 99.9% of my affiliates have stayed with me. 99.9% of my advertisers have stayed with me. We are now turning the tide of this battle. This is a pitched battle. I am facing a very powerful enemy. Media Matters, as you well know, was founded by a group of nefarious far-left activists, including Hillary Clinton and George Soros. When you ask for their tax returns, and I'm sure they're perfectly kosher, be sure to look very carefully at the salary and David Brock takes for himself. Ask yourself why a 501c3 charity would permit people to be rewarded with such high salaries. That's number one. And then try to find out, if you can, where the money is coming from. I believe they're very clever in their disclosures, and they bunch, just as Obama does not disclose where he got $50 million from last month. For example, where did he get $50 million from month after month after month? Where's this money coming from? You're not going to tell me that the grassroots has that much money. I thought the left is screaming they don't have money for gas. I thought the liberals say they don't have money for food. Yet they have money to send $50 million to Obama every month? I don't think so. So where's the money coming from, Mr. Obama? Well, it's being bunched and bundled and sent forward in ways that you can't trace it. Aha. Now that's the modus operandi of many charities in this country, including, in my opinion, the archenemy of freedom of speech, the archenemy of the American way, and of course the archenemy of Michael Savage. That's the group, the nefarious group, the far-left radical group, Media Matters. So when you look into their tax returns, particularly if you're an accountant or a lawyer who loves freedom of speech, try to find out where that bundled money came from that permits Mr. Frisch and Mr. Brock and others. In fact, the last I checked, they're in more than the President of the United States. The President of Media Matters makes more money than the President of the United States. Now, who's paying him this handsome salary? Whose hatchet man is he? When you get to those questions and you find the answers, you'll understand why they've attacked me mercilessly. Go to michaelsavage.com. Thank you. God bless America.